You have your Bibles this morning. I'd like for you to find your place in James chapter 1. It's in the back part of your New Testament. And over the next few weeks, I want to speak to you as your pastor about something very important, something that touches the lives of every single individual in this room. I want to talk to you about the condition of your faith. I want to talk to you about what you're having to believe God for right now, or what you're not believing God for. So this is us talking about our faith and our walk with God and understanding what it is that the Lord would teach us about how to live by faith. So you find your place in James chapter 1 in just a moment. We'll be reading that together. All of you in this room have asked the same two questions I've asked in my life. I'm not ashamed to say these questions. It happens in my life just like in yours. Here are the questions. First question goes something like this: God, why are you allowing this to happen in my life? Maybe you don't make it in the form of a prayer. Maybe you just say it. Why is this or these circumstances, why are all of these things happening in my life? And the second question we ask when trouble comes in our life, or when we find ourselves in one of these circumstances, we ask the question, or we pray, how long is this going to last? People ask this in every season of life. The youngest of you here, you ask the question just like the oldest of us here. Why are you doing this in my life, permitting this to happen in my life, God? And how long is this going to go on? Well, those are questions that have to do with our confidence and our faith in God. Sometimes we're in despair and we're in discouragement. We're not trusting God very well. Other times we're strong in our faith. So we need to talk about as a church, and I'm very burdened about this, that we understand what the Bible has to say about living by faith and walking with God. So if you'll stand with me now and honor the reading of God's word, we're going to read together these three verses that begin the book of James. James is writing to these early Jewish Christians who were scattered around because of persecution. And he says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Now here's our teaching for today. Hear the word of God. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Heavenly Father, we ask now, Holy Spirit of God, be our teacher. And may my words honor Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. So today, as you have your Bible open, before I get into some observations, let me just take you through verse 2, 3, and 4, three simple points that I'll talk about today. Let me give them to you in a summary. First of all, verse 2, James reminds us that our faith is on trial. He speaks, first of all, about the trials of living by faith. Trials. That's verse 2. Verse number 3, he reminds us of the testings of living by faith. The tests, plural, the tests of living by faith. And then in verse number 4, he reminds us of endurance. Endurance that comes when you live by faith. So these are the three things that we'll talk about today. I want to make just a few observations and ask that you hear me out Because there is a mistaken understanding about what it means to live by faith. Oh yes, we trust Jesus for salvation, and that's where it all starts. Saving faith in Jesus Christ. We must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Jesus calls us to believe in Him, to put our faith in Him, our confidence in His work on the cross and the resurrection, and call Him Lord and believe in Him and put our faith in Him and trust Him for our eternal salvation and the opportunity to go to heaven when we die. But what happens between when I die and when I believe in Jesus? That's what we're talking about. What it is you live by faith. You continue to trust Jesus with your life. In fact, just make a note of it. I'll just read it for the sake of time. Galatians 2:20 is a famous verse. Many in this room know it. Some of you don't. Galatians 2:20, Paul gives this testimony about his own life. He says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. In other words, when I came to know Jesus, I'm dead to my old way of life. I've been crucified with Christ. Then he says, yet nevertheless I live. So do you. You're still alive. He says, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live. And he goes on to say in this very important verse, but Christ lives in me, and the life I now live. See, that's what you're doing today. You're now alive. You're living. The life I now live, I live by faith. The life I now live. The life I now live when I go to school. The life I now live when I go to work. The life I now live with my children at home that I'm bringing up. My grandchildren, my husband, my wife, or in my days alone as a widow or a widower, the life I now lead, whatever the circumstance and season of your life, the life I now live, I live by faith. I live by faith. I hope this is your story today. I live by faith in the Son of God, Jesus, who loved me and gave himself for me. So this is what we'll be talking about. What does it look like for me to live by faith until I die? Some of us this morning are living by faith and our faith is strong. Some of us today are living by faith and it's weak. Some of us are in despair and some of us cannot understand why the circumstances of life seem to fall out like they do. That's why we're here, to study God's word. So first of all, let me take you to verse number 2. We learn first of all about the trials of living by faith. Now up in Charlotte, this next week, at the courthouse, the judge will call the jury in and the lawyers will present their case and someone stands on trial. And there'll be a case made to prove that they've done something that they've been arrested for, put in jail, and they're on trial. And the whole point of the trial is to demonstrate whether they are innocent or guilty. So we first learn as we study the Word of God, something James says to us. He says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Let me take you through it. First, we see that there must be an attitude of joy in our trials. You see, folks, this is very important. Trials, troubles come in our life to test our faith. Trials come in your life and mine to demonstrate the genuineness of your faith. Is your faith really real? Have you put your faith in God, or are you just putting your faith in happy times and happy thoughts? Sometimes people say, well, you just believe. Believe in what? Believe in God. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You walk by faith. Or your faith is not real. So trials are a way of helping us see if we are real in our faith, if you're living a life of trusting God. Job said it a long time ago. A man who was very rich, who had everything, a great big family, and everything was taken away from him. He was a righteous man. He prayed for his family all the time. He did all of the right things as a righteous man. The house fell in on all of his children. All of his possessions were robbed and taken away. And he even became sick with sores all over his body. And he said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. I want you to start in James 1 verse 2 with the first few words. Do you see them there? Consider it all joy. He begins with a statement of faith. Consider it all joy. Notice, consider it all. Everything that's going on in your life today, every trouble that you may be facing, consider it all. The good things that have come in your life, the bad things that have come, the relationships that are broken and the relationships that are strong. Consider it all. The family to whom you were born into, the country in which you live, the circumstances of your job, your own health, your own vitality, the condition of your marriage. Consider it all. Consider it all. He uses a mind word. Consider. That means to think carefully. Somebody says, I don't want to think about all of that in my life. Well, you need to. You need to think about the good and the bad, the painful and the joyful. Consider it all. All of it. All of it that began many years ago in your life and that continues to this day. Consider it all. Every bit of it, every last experience of your life, consider it all. Joy, calm delight. Delight as you think about all the amazing things God has done, all the things He has done in all the things of your life. Consider it all joy, my brethren. When, see the word, when. See, this is part of our lesson here. It doesn't say, consider it all joy, my brethren, if. We would like that, wouldn't we? That's the way some people live. Well, you know, I'm going to have a few hard times and blah, blah, blah. I have all this philosophy about it. No, friend, you see, when you encounter, you have them and you will have them. All of this life, you will experience. You will encounter various trials. This Greek word encounter means to be surrounded. You ever felt surrounded by the trouble? It seems like one thing after another is coming. You meet it coming towards you. You feel it from behind. It's on both sides of you. You see, that's the word various. Oh, my friend, my young friends in Jesus. I wish it were different, but it's not. When you encounter, you're going to encounter, you're in the midst of, at every age of life, the youngest here to the oldest of us all here, we all are encountering various troubles. We don't want them, but we get them. Paul said something interesting about his own life when he talked about trouble. He uses a word, usually affliction. That's his word. 2 Corinthians 7, 5. I don't have it here for you on the screen, but let me just read it. 2 Corinthians 7, 5. Paul was writing to his Christian friends and he said, when we came to Macedonia, he was talking about doing his ministry. When we came to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. Listen. We were afflicted on every side. See, some of us think that affliction is just when everything's bad. But affliction actually comes, and I'm going to talk about this in the weeks ahead, when things are good. Afflictions come in all shapes and forms. Oh, we experience affliction in prosperity, and we experience affliction in poverty. He says that we were afflicted on every side, and this is the part I want you to hear. He described his affliction from every side, and he says, conflicts without, around me, and fears within. That's what happens to us all. Oh, that trial of your faith comes, that you encounter a trial. You encounter a trial. What's on trial? Your faith is on trial. You say you trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. You say you will live for Jesus and trust Him with the circumstances of your life. I ask you today, how are you doing on trusting God? Or are you trying to take things and manipulate them and work them your own way? Oh, this is our danger. When God doesn't do it the way we want, we just become little gods and try to do it ourselves. the trials of living by faith show the genuineness, the realness of our faith. Or, if you want to say it the other way, counterfeit faith, when you don't really have faith. Trials. They're going to come. You're going to encounter them in all kinds of different ways. If I started listing all the things that we've experienced just as a church family within our own body of believers here, it would take me a long time and I would not finish with all the trials that the people of this church faith, you know what, face. You know what's interesting? Some people think, well, you know, bad people should have all the troubles and a Christian shouldn't, but that's not what we're reading today. In fact, I want to tell you something. Some of those who are the most genuine, deepest, sincere followers of Jesus carry some of the greatest trials. Some trials in the lives of our people here are lifetime trials. Not going to be over in this lifetime. They carry it with them all the times of their life. Some are in seasons, but we encounter them. The second thing we see here is testing. Follow the logic now. Consider it all joy. That's your act of faith when the trial's on. Consider it joy. Consider it whatever it is. You fill in the it and the all with whatever those things are in your life. But you notice here we see the testing of our faith. He says in verse 3, knowing, another mind word. So there's something here for all of us in this room to learn. I've been speaking to our people about this all morning long. So if I'm going to answer the question, why is this happening and how long? You see, that answers that when question, when we encounter. It seems like I just come out of this and then something else happens, and it just seems like there's troubles all the way along, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And the first church I pastored was a little tiny church in Oklahoma, and filled around that area of the state were a lot of people who worked in the oil fields. And you had large oil wells and derricks and all the equipment that goes with the pumping oil. A man in our church owned a company, a wire rope company. Large, giant spindles, these giant wheels that had metal wire strand put together and twisted. It looked like rope. Various sizes and gauges of it and different strengths of this wire rope. Because it was used, it had to be made and approved and tested before it was sent to the oil field, purchased by the oil company so that they could use it in their equipment. So I went with my friend to watch them test wire rope. And it was many, many years ago, and I've never forgotten it. The building was about pretty much as big as this building. On one end, they would put the whatever degree of size of the wire rope, and then they'd bring it through this equipment, put it on the other end, and then we stood behind a protected barrier as the two spindles, these two giant spindles started to turn. And they were turning in the opposite directions, pulling the wire rope tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter until it finally broke. That was an amazing thing to see, that the power of steel could even be broken. And then they measured that on their instruments, and then that was how they gauged the wire, that this wire was of that value and you could use it in different ways on the oil rigs. Why do I tell you that? You're feeling the same thing in your life. It's tighter and tighter and tighter. Knowing that the testing of your faith, it's on trial. The genuineness of your faith now is being tested to see the endurance of your faith. How much can you endure? So would God do this because he is mean to us and he doesn't love us? No, it's because actually he does. fact, I've given you here from Deuteronomy chapter 6. These warnings all came to the nation of Israel in time. Excuse me, Deuteronomy 8. 8:2, you shall remember all the way which the Lord has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you. Testing you why? Why would God allow these things to come in our life? That you might know what's in your heart. You see, that's what happens when the test comes. Shows you what's on the inside. To test your what's in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. David, over and over in the Psalms, he was faced with adversaries and trouble, and it surrounded him. He could never get away from it. One of my favorite Psalms, Psalm 13:5, he says, "But I have trusted in your loving kindness." That was David's conclusion when he was surrounded. Do you feel surrounded today? Does it seem like your life is coming apart? Does it seem like there's trouble on every side? Consider it all joy. Consider it all. Consider it all. Consider every single thing that is permitted into your life because you have a loving Heavenly Father. You say, this doesn't make any sense. Of course it doesn't. But you consider it all joy when you encounter the trials, these various kinds that last for certain amounts of time. Oh, how I wish I could go alongside some of our friends in this church who have lifelong trials. There's nothing I can do. There's nothing you can do. We can pray for them. We can encourage them. We can walk with them. But these trials, these various trials, they last for the amount of time God has determined, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Now, I want you to see this. This is very important. God works in your life by producing endurance. Tested faith, this is important. Tested faith works something up in you. It works up endurance, and we all need it. Oh, you know, several of the ladies in our church, and I could point out, a few of them are in here today, and I love them, but they're distance runners. And and it's wonderful. The problem is they run by my house while I'm eating pie and they keep running around and I'm watching them run around and they keep running by. Would you all, I love you, just come by one time. Go around somewhere else. Their endurance is amazing. They just run by and they run and they run and they keep running. Now they didn't do that in one day. They built up their endurance. They were able just to go for a little while when they started and they thought, oh, I can't keep doing this. This is going to be too hard. But they kept going. They quit eating all these other things that some of us do. They have discipline and they have endurance. They didn't just get it because they're special people born a special way. They're just like the rest of us, but they started running and they gained endurance. The same for those of you who go to the gym and you lift weights and you do other physical activities. Endurance comes by the practice. Listen, this is important for you. Knowing this, knowing that you're going to encounter trials, you got to mark that down. It's never going to go away. You can't move. I know some of you want to go to the beach and just live down there. There's trouble down there. I know some of you just want to go to the mountains. I live there. It's cold up there. You're not going to be able to live anywhere where there's not trouble. It's in the city. It's in the country. You can't live far enough out in these woods with all these thorn bushes and all the rest to get away from trouble. It's everywhere. You're going to encounter it no matter what your age, how smart you are. You can't outrun it. You can't outsmart it. You must consider it all joy because you're going to encounter it. It's your trial and you're being tested. You need endurance. Oh, Pastor Mike, a person said to me last week, I can't endure it anymore. Well, we learn in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, you all have need of endurance. I have need of endurance in my troubles. Listen, so that when we do the will of God, we receive what is promised. Right now you're enduring. And so what we learn in the Christian life is we endure, and you know what's amazing? The Holy Spirit brings us joy and peace and patience. And we learn to live and love people and care about people and tell them about Jesus when we're in the middle of trials and troubles that we don't have any way to stop. Every person who hears my voice in the sound of this room or wherever you are, you need endurance. And your troubles come to help you. Finally, let me just say this to you. Endurance in living faith brings maturity. You see, there's three things we've seen here today. The trial comes to show your genuineness of your faith. The testing of your faith shows us the endurance or strength of your faith. And listen, when you endure, you are mature. When you endure, you're mature. I don't like what's happening in my life, Lord. I wish the plan of my life had been written differently, but you see, that's not for your choosing. You were born where you were born, you came to know Jesus where you came to know him, and you carry with you all of those things in life, and you encounter various trials, and oh, they come in the stages of life. But we must allow, this is important, did you see it in this last verse as I'm finishing? And let endurance, allow endurance to finish its work. The work of endurance is to make you mature in Jesus. The work of endurance, as we learn in the book of Hebrews, is so that you might become holy like God is holy. How is it that God shapes us into Christ's likeness? He lets us suffer. Did not our Lord Jesus suffer? Yes, he suffered. He suffered greatly and he suffered deeply. And we learn from the book of Hebrews, as he suffered, he learned obedience in what he suffered. And the same is true for all of those who follow Jesus. Jesus said something amazing in Luke 21:19. It's a very obscure statement of Jesus. It's not heard or thought about often, but I want to give it to you today as we finish. Luke 21:19, by your endurance, you will gain your life. You need endurance today. Oh, I can't keep doing this, Pastor Mike. I can't keep going through what I'm going through. I'm about to go into despair. Okay, you're talking about your faith. The condition of your faith. Strong or weak, that's good. You've identified where you are. Now call out to the Lord. And in the enduring, in the endurance, do what Paul said. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, with all of its troubles that I've encountered and continue to count, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loves me and gave himself for me. The Williams translation puts verse 4 this way, so that you may be fully developed and perfectly equipped without defect. That's it. You know what the Lord's doing in your life? He's doing it for you because he loves you. Have you ever told your kids this? I'm disciplining you because I love you. Of course you have. The Lord loves you. He's allowing these things to happen to you. Are they all good? No. Do some of them come from our own decisions? Yes. Are some of them evil and wicked things that have happened in our life that we didn't control or want? Yes. Oh, the world. Oh, the troubles. Oh, the pain. You see, James says this, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. Friend, the phone may ring this day or this week, or the email come, or the call comes, or something happens, who knows? But you consider it all joy. You consider it all joy because you know the testing of your faith makes you mature and strong. And that's God's plan for us. with our faith. So let me give you three things for daily use this week. First of all, consider it all joy. That's really what my first takeaway here is. Consider it all joy. In fact, I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, with a smile, consider it all joy. Go ahead and turn and tell them. Come on. Oh, they need to hear that. Now, when they go home today and they're whining and they're crying and they're going on, consider it all joy. Consider it all joy. Secondly, be strong in your faith. Be strong. Stand in the Word of God. That's why we read God's Word. That's why we pray. That's why we come to church together to encourage each other. We do all of these things because we want to grow in our faith and our confidence, and that happens to all of us. When you hear somebody else at church say, look, this is what I'm going through, and this is how I'm trusting God, it helps you. Consider it all joy. You didn't ask for it, but you got it. Consider it all joy. When you've encountered these various trials, they're going to keep coming. They don't go away like when you're 25 years old. They just change as you age. Be strong in your faith and submit. Look, let endurance have its work. God is working on you. What's He doing? Well, He's taking us apart and putting us back together to be like Jesus. Haven't you prayed before and said, Lord, I want to be like Jesus? Well, that's what He's doing. Let it happen. Let it come. You mean I should just accept these things? Yes. I love what one of our men said to me the other day. He suffered and he'll suffer his entire life with a very severe health problem. I mean, 1 year he spent an entire year in the hospital. An entire year. He said to me, Pastor Mike, he said, I've learned this, that suffering is my friend. It makes me like Jesus. Now look, you can only say that when you've learned it. For some of you, you're trying to get out of your trouble. You've got some plans. You're trying to cut a deal with God. It's the way you pray. You can't cut a deal. Consider it all joy. Consider it all joy. Every last bit of it. When you encounter those various trials, because the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect work so that you may be like Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of your word. We need it. We need it in all the struggles and troubles of life. We don't think it's fair what's happened in our life. And we tell you, sometimes we say, how long will it be? And we want you to end it, but you don't. We wonder why you've allowed these things to occur in our lives. What did we do? Help us today to understand and know that we are crucified with Christ, yet we live. We don't live, but you live in us. And the life we now live, we live by faith in Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us. Now pause for just a moment. Everyone, just for a moment. Think for a moment. What has the Lord said to you from his word today? Just for a moment. Before you go back to the chaos of the world, what's he saying right now? Pause. This is as important as anything. Now take it to heart. What must you do as you leave here today? Pause for just a moment. Perhaps you're here this morning and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ and you've never experienced saving faith. We would love to tell you about it. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. If you'll confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you need to be saved, if you need to know Jesus, we invite you to step forward out of the crowd, balcony or below. Step down here with the pastors and say, I'm ready to follow Jesus. If you need to join this church, often I'm asked, how do I join the church? This is when you come. You present yourself now to the church and say, I'm ready to become a part of this church. Just step forward and come. We'll meet you here. Let's stand together We're going to sing together this old song, Higher Ground. God's been speaking to us today. What do you need to do? Say yes to Jesus. Do what He's called you to do.